Season 2 of Ricardo's Rules of Resilience is brought to you by RamFit. Here at RamFit, we take materials destined for landfill and turn it into high-performance exercise gear that lasts, because we believe we can have fitter people and a fitter planet. In the dynamic world of fitness equipment, our indestructible training tools made from recycled materials promises to revolutionize your workouts and delivered unmatched durability. By embracing the RamFit philosophy, you're not only enhancing your workouts, but also contributing to a more sustainable future. RamFit, fitter people, fitter planet. Welcome everybody to the Ricardo's Rules of Resilience podcast, the podcast where we give you the tools to withstand and recover from difficulties. I'm your co-host, Coach Alton, along with Coach Ricardo, and today, you guys, we got a super special guest. We're super honored to have this guest on. We got the DECA founder, Yancey Culp, in the house. Thank you for joining us today, Yancey.
Thanks, team. This is a dream come true. 4 or 5 years of DECA and having a long time affiliate, and then all of a sudden you find yourself on the podcast. Man, I'm super proud of you guys. From Texas to Indiana, man. Fist bump through the laptop screen.
There we go. All right. So just giving us, for the viewers that may not know, you give us a quick elevator pitch, who you are, what you're about. Who is Yancey Culp?
So yeah, as you mentioned, Spartan DECA co-creator and senior director. Man, I have the amazing opportunity to work with a lot of great companies in the health and wellness space, so many when you go to list them, sometimes you're like, oh, wait a second, let me see if I can get them all right here. But it's just a bunch of companies that if we sat around a table and had all the CEOs and all the C levels around, they would all be able to have a collaborative conversation together, because they're all in the health and wellness space. And that's extremely important to me. And Joe knows that, the owner, founder, CEO of Spartan. I met Joe 11 years ago, about 30 hours into my 72-hour death race on Joe's mountain. And we've been collaborating ever since. I'm a guy that grew up on a 600-acre ranch and farm/ranch in small town Munster, Texas. We had cows and horses and whatnot, and trained for football and all the sports by hauling hay and working on the farm. I was that kid that couldn't wait to get out of Munster, but then you find yourself, you can't wait to go back when you go back and visit mom and dad, and they still live in the country, and roots are still there. Had the wonderful opportunity to get a track scholarship, University of North Texas, ran a little track there. Spent 4 years in the U.S. Navy, 16 years in the corporate world. Managing fixed base operations, red carpet airports for the people that can afford to fly around on $10, $15, $20 million jets. It was a lot of fun. Started my fitness career in 1996, personal trainer at the YMCA in San Diego, and never looked back, man. I've been involved in fitness ever since. A lot of that time was kind of, had two jobs that I love, and then eventually went on to fitness full-time. But like I said, I think the greatest part of my work career now is I just have the amazing opportunity to work with a lot of companies in the health and wellness space. And obviously, Spartan DECA is one of the key ones, and get a chance to meet people like you guys, man.
It's definitely a beautiful thing how you got people. I mean, now it's all over the world. You got affiliates all over the world that are working towards that common goal, getting people that challenge, that just getting people on the race line, competing and doing hard things that push them outside of their comfort zone. It's really truly a beautiful thing that you've built with DECA in the world, really.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah, I remember, go back to 2019, December, I'm sitting in Jodas, true story, I'm sitting in Jodas in his kitchen in Pittsville, Vermont, and Joe and I are talking about, if you don't know Joe, for any of the listeners and viewers, when Joe was born, they kicked the mold off the side of a mountain, and that mold is forever broken. There will be another Jodas in it exactly like Joe. If you know, you know. We love him, but it's a roller coaster ride with Joe. But we're sitting there, and we're like, you know,
for the listeners, that's Joe DeSena, the founder CEO of Spartan Race. Yes,
Spartan, and now CEO of Tough Mudder, and technically the CEO of DECA and Trail, and all the things that we do, La Ruta and the paddle boards and all the stuff. He's a wild, crazy guy that loves celebrating fitness and the power of fitness. But so we're sitting in his kitchen, Pittsville, Vermont, December 2019. And Joe's got this beautiful 900-acre farm in Pittsfield, and we're like, you know, we're talking about how we pulled 15 million people off the couch with the mud and the barbed wire and the obstacles on sides of mountains, and we got to talking about, you know, I'm the old guy that's probably coached 6,000-7,000 group exercise classes over the years. You used to do Monday through Thursday multiple classes for years and years and years, and you know, you realize that, okay, there's a large percentage of these people, we're not going to get them to the mud and the barbed wire on the side of a mountain. You know, what if we created a globally recognized sport designed for all levels, where, and most of them took place inside small little brick and mortar gyms, and what if they were for all levels of fitness, and almost everybody that could walk and breathe could cross that finish line, so we could truly cater to the 70 to 80% of the world's population that have never stepped up to a start line in their life. They're overweight, they're unfit, not on a good fitness journey, didn't play sports growing up, not participating in the common participatory sports that we have available. Like, what if we built a sport maniacally focused on them? You know, JC, Jared Cogswell, my great friend, who we brought on board, like day two, JC was on board, and he and I were just going 90 million miles an hour. So for a couple of years, we're grinding, and it's like if there was always the maniacal focus on those people that don't even really have fitness in their life as well. That was always going to be the biggest focus. We figured the 10, 20%ers would love it, and they do, but try to create that, the opportunity to deal the world's most powerful drug, gentlemen. Fitness, movement, exercise, mental and physical health and wellness. We've seen it change and save lives, and that's why we love what we do so much. To be able to get the masses to experience that. And anyway, I'll shut up, man. But you guys know where I stand on that. It is truly a global mission of allowing the whole world to celebrate the power of fitness.
You know, I love DECA. We've talked about it so many times and spent so much of our time on this podcast talking about DECA one shape, form, or another, including the recently released kickoff of season two, where we're talking about my transition from the brick and mortar gym to being a part of DECA and how I just love it. I resonate with your leadership. I resonate with your vision. As a gym owner, it fired up my people. It brought in leads of people that would have never heard of my gym otherwise. It got people a vision and a focus of what to do and something to strive for, having something on the calendar. And the beauty of it is, you know, you can do that with a 5K, but what if you're not a runner? You know, what if your body's just mm-hmm. not built for that? And so to do something that was all around its strength, its power, its balance, its cardiovascular endurance, it's everything in one fitness test. So it's a very well-rounded and beautiful thing. And you've got different levels, and your goal could be to complete, or your goal can mm-hmm. be to get your full trifecta. Your goal could be to go to Worlds or to get on the podium at the World. You know, for every level, there's something to shoot for. And I loved what it did for my clients. I love what it did for my gym, bringing in people that had never heard of us before. The energy of the quarterly challenges, you know, getting everybody rallied mm-hmm. around. We're going to go win a golden ram. You know, we're going to do reverse lunges to our knees don't work anymore this month, you know, and all of the things that it did. So, you know, DECA's been a big deal, but here's the really unique thing. And I've tried to pin you down on this before and get you to tell this, but you know, you have designed something that any gym can add onto their program. It doesn't matter if it can be as diverse as a YMCA or a CrossFit or you know, a Pilates gym. Anybody can bolt this on, and it's going to mm-hmm. be energizing and great for their members. And you've built it so, and you would say this to us in the affiliate meetings every month, this is your brand. And that was not a tagline. That was truly your mm-hmm. approach of the affiliates are what we operate for, the affiliated gyms. And we're going to make this as easy as possible for you guys. We're not going to have a bunch of stupid rules. Someone was just asking me last week that we're considering affiliating, and they're like, well, what are the stupid things? I'm like, it really isn't. I mean, they've eliminated all of that because it really is affiliate driven. And, you know, the events that gyms hold can generate revenue and bring in new people, all of those things. How did you arrive at that? Was that just, you know, from your heart of service to others? Was it because you were born in a pandemic and you had to get creative? Was it a little of both? But how did you come up with the model of DECA being what it is?
Well, we wanted to, if my wife pulls out these old dry erase board pictures and a piece of copy paper where I'm out 2 a.m. and I'm outside at the table drawing, and I still find myself doing that all the time. And the ultimate, I think, if you narrowed it down to one specific reason, the overpowering reason was to provide the power of that, the start and the finish line. And what Kelly McGonigal has, Jared and I had her on the call one time, a podcast one time, where, like, let them experience what the three of us know. When you get, like, when you go into the gym or you get up to the race and you're nervous and it sucks. You're like, this is going to suck. And you're like, whoa, 10 minutes in, the chemical releases are happening. The heart rate's up. The muscle temperature's increasing. And it's like, oh my gosh, the magic happens of getting the heart rate up and feeling the lactic acid in the muscles. And then if it's a gamified workout or an actual test, you cross the finish line and you wake up the next day and you're like, or the rest of the day, you have the most productive day ever because you check that box, and then you get that beautiful addiction that we've all felt. I know the three of us have it, and so many other people have it. And it's like, you get addicted to wanting to help other people realize that. So JC and I early on, man, we had these roundtable sessions, and it was we had the old abandoned Kmart for 3.5 months in Denver. And I'm telling you, listeners and viewers, that's what it was. It was an old abandoned Kmart in the middle of winter in Denver. We're freezing our butt off. It would warm up in the day and snow would leak down into the building, and we were murdering the plan. We had people 100 pounds overweight. We had CrossFit Games athletes, professional athletes from other sports, and everybody in between. And we're like, guys, we can't. I remember Jared and I specifically saying, we can't leave here saying we've got the test and the zones built until every one of those people from all walks of life and all fitness levels, some of them have no fitness level, they're crossing the finish line, doing the exact same thing in the same arena on the same day, using the exact same standards, all levels of fitness come together and celebrate the power of fitness together. And all of a sudden we're like, you know, we were tweaking reps and we were tweaking weight standards and even a couple movements we took. Jared and I would butt up. We were like ready to go toe-to-toe with each other with the boxing gloves on. True stories. And we love telling that because we were like, we were literally trying, and we had calls with Chris Henshaw and other famous coaches, because it's like, we wanted to fast forward 10 years from now and say, what if a bunch of professionals were looking at it? We wanted them to say, you know what, guys? Nothing's perfect in life, but that's a pretty freaking damn good, well-rounded functional fitness test designed for all levels, and tens of millions of people have used it. Is that arguably the most popular sport on planet Earth designed for all levels? Those are the kind of conversations we had. So there was a lot of R&D, but one specific thing to answer your question, what did we do to come up with it? The number one mission statement early on before nobody knew what we were doing was, if we go to any community or city on the planet Earth, and we've got a gym, and we pull 100 random people off the street, and they walk in, and we get them to test a DecaStrong or a DecaMile, or a DecaStrong or DecaMile teams. Sight unseen, with zero training, low barrier of entry, low risk of injury, are 99%+ of people crossing that finish line that day. If we can do that, we'll have something. Because I love all the wild, crazy stuff that's out there, but it's very intimidating. Some of the things that happen inside gyms and a lot of the events out there are very intimidating, and we had to vaporize that barrier and still try to gamify in a way and set up in a way where the deck of cyborgs, that we like to call them, if one of them shows up, the cyborg human, are they going to enjoy the test as well? So it was a fine balance, but I think the biggest difference, Ricardo, was that the 10, 20%ers were never, ever the focus. It was always the person that had never walked into a gym before in their life. Was it going to work beautifully for them? And if anything we did, any step we took was not catering to them, we walked away from it. It was like that. We pushed that off the side. That's out of the equation. So anyway, that's a question that I could go on for 2 or 3 hours, man. And I know we don't have that much time. So I'm going to – you just know that you hit my button there, man. That's my love tank button, and I love talking about that subject.
So you all of this time, you and Jerry Cogswell and all of these athletes, professional athletes all the way down, you came up with a product you absolutely believed in. It was 2019, and you and I have this in common. We were about to launch something new, and the batteries in our crystal ball were dead. We didn't check to see that there was a global pandemic kind of right around the corner. So you go to launch. I go to launch a gym. You went to launch this new fitness test, and sure enough, COVID hits. You know, the theme of the podcast is resilience, particularly in transitions. And I know you to be a very mentally strong individual. And could you just share with our audience what it was that helped you to withstand and overcome the difficult time of launching this dream, being so excited about it, and then everything being kind of hit with a baseball bat across the forehead with the COVID shutdown?
So remember, December 2019 all the way through early March 2020 was 90 miles an hour. You know, we thought we were going to March 21st, a date I'll never forget, was going to be our first large-scale DecaFit event inside the Denver Broncos football training facility, the Pat Bowlen Field House, which we ended up going back to a couple years later to serve our Denver crowd. And I remember Jared and I being in tears. We were literally in tears because we had been grinding. You know, you think about four months of the hardest. I mean, military boot camp was easier. It was just the hardest we had ever worked. And we slowly started building a small team. And it was just sun up to sundown, 7 days a week, sometimes waking up at 2 a.m. because you thought of something and you damn sure couldn't go back to sleep and you're on a dry erase board. And then it gets ripped out from, rug gets ripped out from under you. And almost, it didn't take long. You know, the first couple weeks of COVID, you're like, this is going to be maybe a couple months, couple weeks, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And you realize, okay, it's going to get longer. And I'm going to be honest, I'm a transparent guy. I always give Florida a big shout out because Florida flat out said, we're not going to take the same path with COVID that the rest of the country's taking. Yeah. And they did not shut everything down. And we were able to get inside gyms. They were being very careful. I shout out to Florida. They just took a different route. And we were able to make an aggressive pivot. You know, it looked like our first event was going to be the big DecaFit. And we made an aggressive pivot. And we started putting on technically roadshow events inside gyms all up and down Florida. And I remember we would make posts on social media. And you don't even think about it because you're kind of accustomed to what's going on in Florida. And somebody in, I don't know, California or somebody else would see it and they're like, what the hell are they doing in there? What are they even doing in a gym? We were catching grief, getting phone calls. But much love to Florida, man. It just that's a whole nother podcast. But it was the most intense grind I had ever been on because we weren't making any money. Spartans started losing. You talk about resilience from our side of DECA. You talk about one of the most resilient humans I've ever met. During COVID, Spartan lost $75 million. You talk about a rug getting ripped out from under you. And then here's this one guy, and it was pretty much one guy, Joe. I know Joe catches a lot of hate. There was one guy that believed in us and continued to believe in us when months turned into a year and then a year and a half and so forth and so on. And you are in an event company and there is no money coming in, nothing. And you're trying to keep on as many people as you can. And I look back on it and I'm like, it amazes me sometimes. He let us continue moving. He believed in us enough to where he kept, there's no way this guy's got enough capital to keep going what we had going and build a team and pay him salaries. And, you know, it's like, and all of a sudden we were able to crunch the math on a spreadsheet. You know, you got the P&L, you're like, okay, once we get to 275 affiliates, we break even. Well, we had five. You know what I mean? And we had five, and it's like, and then we had six, and then I remember we celebrated when we got to 10, and then we got to 50, and then we got 100, and now it's like, when's 400 coming? Will we get to 400 before the end of the year? But it was, you guys know me, man. I'm the most honest, transparent person on planet Earth, and when you look back on that kind of stuff, sometimes you can't quite comprehend how you did it, I think we, Jared and I, and then our small team, and I'm gonna just so I don't forget, I'm gonna give a quick shout out to the entire team, Brian and Nelson, Robin, Cynthia, Arlene, Preston, and all of our roadshow teams, which just includes you now, Ricardo. Just a shout out to the small team we built over the years that have been so freaking instrumental. We are not even having this conversation without our small team. It doesn't happen. And if this exact same people didn't make it to the team, we're not at 365 and counting, and we haven't had 2,000 plus events. So it was the hardest thing I've ever freaking done in my life, 10X. And I don't know if I could do it again. If we were plugged in, the team and I talk about it, I was like, could we freaking duplicate that? Would we be willing to duplicate that? So I think sometimes when you look down on or look out at what's been created and you're thinking about it in like a 5-second moment, you forget that it was thousands and thousands of hours. We laugh about tens of thousands of text messages, Instagram private messages, phone calls, Google Hangout calls, emails, face-to-face meetings, here and there, going 90 miles an hour to create. And I have mad respect. You talk about resilience. When you go through something like that, I've always been a 90 miles an hour creator guy. I shot a video on Instagram the other day, and or yesterday, and posted it. That's always been me. Ask my mom and dad from I was this big to now. It's just who I've always been, and I love to create. And creators, for everybody out there that's ever created something, like you start your gym and you create a gym culture. It's the vast majority of people, this may ruffle some feathers, I don't care. There's a percentage of people that don't have the ability, the mindset, and the patience to deal with the insane amount of obstacles and hurdles that come with creating something from scratch. Mm-hmm. And there's times when you go to bed at night and you're questioning everything, and you find a way to get up and check the box for one more day. And you literally, it's almost like the death race, 72 hours behind me. It was like, if I knew that we might be out there for 3 days, I don't know but what's the task right in front of me? And sometimes it's just like, I got 20 people that showed up for a workout at my gym. I got to coach these wonderful people that decided to come to me today. We had to it was five gyms hosting. Okay, we're going to have 15 events. If these are our five gyms, they'll put 3 to 4 on a gym events. We'll have 15, 20 events. We just got to be thankful for them. And we poured into them. We poured into everybody that supported us early on. And it was, and I would talk people off the ledge. I'll never lie to somebody, but I got as creative as I possibly could to get them to believe where we could be in late 2024. And I had my fingers crossed under the table, hoping everything I'm saying would come true. I'm not lying. Creators, people that build things know these things. I was trying to sell ice to penguins that needed no freaking ice. Yeah. And then some would buy on, and then you got to 50 affiliates and like, oh wow, that's 150 events. In year one that happened. Nobody knew who the hell we were. And then in the next year, it was like, oh, there's 100 affiliates. That's 300 events. And this year, our gyms will have held 1,000 events this year, 1,000 plus events. We just eclipsed 2,000 events a couple weeks ago. But long story short, the resiliency comes from having, you can't do it if you are alone. Yeah. I'm an imperfect person failing forward every day. And I mean, sometimes I smash right into the wall. I don't even try, I don't even hurdle over it. I don't even hit the pause button sometimes to come up with a better plan to get over it. Sometimes we're going so fast, we crash right into the wall, and luckily we barely fall over it. We bust our ass, we get back up, and we keep going. But a lot of people that believe in you and will sit, you know, you get that message. It doesn't matter how big you get or who you are. I promise we could talk to an Elon Musk, or we could talk to this person or that person or a Jeff Bezos, anybody that's the world's greatest creators, and they get a message sometimes. True story. I got one today. And it's like that random message from the person. I just want you to know how much we appreciate what you guys do for us. And you, on the spot, you have tears well up in the eyes, and everything is worth it. 4.5, 5 years of busting your ass is worth it because of one message. And so I always encourage, I was driving my son to school today, and I said, listen, my dad has a policy. If he thinks of any of us, we're going to get a text message or a phone call. If a random memory comes up, or he just gets a tear in his eye because he's thinking about his kids or his family or people that are important to his life, he hits the pause button, stops what he's doing, and he reaches out to him. I says, listen, if you think about Papa today or Mama or whoever, you need to send him a text message. I love you. Thank you for everything you do for me. So to everybody out there that's ever served us, man, it takes a freaking village. We wouldn't have made it. We always say, you know, we've got 365 CEOs on our team, and people are like, what are you talking about? We have 365 owners of gyms, clubs, studios, and boxes that own this brand. Like you said, Ricard, this is your brand and your community. You own this. You are the reason Spartan comes to town, not us, you. You bring Spartan town whenever you want to, and you celebrate fitness with your community. To every one of those people that believed in us, man, I would fight a grizzly bear for every single one of you, because it would not have happened if you wouldn't have believed in us and you bought in. And I know the fingers were crossed and I was hoping, but we with maniacal focus, we believed that it was going to work, and it is now. You know, we're in 8 or 9 countries, so I know that's a long-winded answer, man, but dude, it was there's no reason to sugarcoat it. It was so freaking hard. It was so hard that there would be days when you're like, I need a break? Did you go on, when you're a create, you're gym owner, you've been a creator, okay? Every gym owner knows, every creator knows. Yeah, you go on a 6-day vacation, you're not punching out. Yeah. There's sometimes where you have to answer that question, and somebody needs, they send you an Instagram private message like, Yancey, I've got an event tomorrow and I need some help, and you're on vacation with your family, and when you say extended family, when you're a creator and you have a massive network of extended family, that's exactly who, shy of being your blood, your wife, your kids,
yeah,
and these immediate family, they are family, man. They are family. And if they were sitting around the dinner table around Thanksgiving, they would have, it's a more powerful seat to you than if somebody else just rolled in off the street. It's family. And they're important to you. So yeah, man, that's I appreciate that question. I love sharing that. There's it's not for everybody. It's not being an innovator, a creative, and an entrepreneur, and trying to, because what happens is, I'm dealing with this right now. Elon said it. He said, you know, you get to the point where there's always, everybody's lying to you if they say the opposite of what I'm about to tell you. I think this is a non-debatable. Every one of us want all 100% of the people to like what we're doing and appreciate what we're doing and want to fist bump us and hug us all the time. But there comes a point, no matter how hard you're trying to do the right thing and serve, number one, because we're imperfect people, we're going to fall flat on our ass. And no matter how good you do it, there's just going to be a percentage of people that are going to want to burn you down to the ground. They carry a flamethrower everywhere they go, and they're going to flamethrow you. And that's okay. I think the best creators out there don't get too caught up in people that the brain goes to just the eternal, it's instead of the eternal optimist, it's like the negativity. I got to spend some time on negativity first, and then I might find something good. And that's okay. I got mad respect for those people too. They show up at the start line. I love you just as much as the next person beside you. Thank you for showing up. But I can't spend too much time on the massive critique of like everything you guys are doing is a hot mess, when you know it's not. Some right. of it is, but there's a lot of good as well. So don't mean to get on that soapbox, but I think the best ones out there that are great creators never get too, I always say, don't get too caught up in the comments, man. Don't get too caught up in the comments, because it'll burn you down.
Said so much there about resilience. Man, you know, the people say it's lonely at the top. Well, it doesn't have to be. Like you said, when you have the right team around you who's pulling for you and they're in the trenches with you, they believe the dream as much as you do. And you know, you're waking up in the middle of the night and so are they. Then you have that. That's going to help you get through the hard times. And when you have the people like you had Joe backing you up and believing in you, no matter how bad the numbers got, he's still believing in you. And you know, you said something else that's super key. And that is, what's right in front of me? I got to do the next right thing. You know, we're all three people of faith, and we don't try to hide that on this podcast, you know. But the master taught us to pray, give us today our daily bread. And there's enough grace for today. And you said you just wake up and do what has to be done today.
Real quick on that, but it's important for all of us to have accountability partners. I had the wonderful opportunity to travel the country and coach large groups. And it's like, you need an accountability partner and a mentor. I just have one that sits right here 24/7, 365, that on the spot can slap me if I need to be slapped. And we still are going to fail, because sometimes we'll forget to hit the pause button and realize that I just got slapped and I wasn't paying attention to my ultimate accountability partner that smacked me around a little bit. So that's, I have so many physical accountability partners and mentors, but to have that one there on the shoulder all the time, there will be times when I'll make a decision that's going to be a little less harmful to people or to the brand or to my family than it would have been if I wouldn't have allowed myself to say, okay, I get it. I mean, there was basically a really cool dude that traveled the planet for 30 some odd years and kind of showed us the way how to do cool stuff and treat people. And we allow ourselves to say, okay, I get what you're telling me right now. This is how I should do it, not about how I'm about to do it. And things come out a little smoother.
And you've told me the name of that accountability partner on your shoulder. You can say it here on the podcast.
I always learn when I'm coaching people that are kind of, you know, non-believers. I love to come at it in a fun way, a little loose way sometimes. And then you kind of work your way into it with the JC conversation. It's like, you know, it was a really cool dude that hung out with us for a while. You know, he was here physically and left a lot of examples in that period of time. And when we study, it does keep us more grounded in the decisions we make. And it's, you know, everybody listen, you put your head on the pillow at night. I know, I can talk for the three of us on this call. When we put our head on the pillow at night, it's like, okay, man, are you, this is what I do. This is how I grade myself. JC, are you Jesus? Are you proud of the way I live my day, or was I a hot mess? And you have that conversation. It's like the ultimate prayer. You know, it's like, I always, some people struggle. I was like, you don't have, just talk. Just have a chatterbox session in your head with JC, and like, let's go through the day, and you can see where it's like, okay, I see where I screwed up. I needed to do this way or that way, and I'll be better tomorrow. So, but it is important to have that. At a minimum, people, if you're a non-believer, that's okay. Make sure you have somebody physical that you consider better than you. I have a lot of those people that set me straight sometimes. They educate me daily because they are better than me at a lot of things that they're good at. And be okay if you're not into the JC thing. Be okay with being smacked around by that physical person every now and then. You know, just the rule is like, be inside the shoulder when you smack them. Don't get out here. Just be inside the shoulder.
I love that response earlier. We kick off season two. We talked about transitions, and you actually brought up two of the steps we talked about. The first being staying focused on the day-to-day and not getting worried about everything that's going around you and just focusing on the task ahead. And then the second one with ignoring the haters, which you talked about. There's always going to be haters, no matter what you're doing, and stay out of those comments. I love that you brought up both of those aspects. And just staying on the topic of resilience, you yourself are a super resilient person, and you surround yourself with very resilient people, like you've talked about Joe and his resilience. And you talked about how it's kind of something you're born with. If someone doesn't feel as though they consider themselves a resilient person, what are the things they need to be doing to develop that resilience?
I would say, oh man, I love that question. Put yourself out there. Start saying yes. Start saying yes to things. You backtrack 20 years ago when I'm knee deep in the corporate world. Let's see, it should be 2004. I mean, I started management. I was a general manager of a military installation, Marine Corps Air Station Camp Pendleton, managing the entire refueling operations at Camp Pendleton. Freaking Camp Pendleton. Mm-hmm. I was like, we're fueling 120 aircraft a day. They're going out on missions, and I got employees and managers. We're managing 250,000-gallon tank farms and all this stuff. And I didn't have I got to start putting myself out there. I was a shy kid that stuttered growing up, and you know, I started getting into, a little before that, I started getting into acting classes so I could really, oh my God, I was a nervous wreck every single day because I knew I had to, I was not this wild guy that loved to be on the microphone, bringing tons of energy. That was not always me. I knew I had it in me, and it drove me crazy that I had trouble putting myself out there. But then I said, okay, I got my personal trainer certification, and where I was in front of people, and it went into small group, and I started saying yes to things. If you want to be okay with not having to be resilient, just settle into easy, man. You're never going to have to be that resilient. I have to be resilient because I've said yes to a lot of things that put me in front of a lot of wonderful people and a lot of wonderful opportunities and situations to grow. And I think the best answer to that question is, put yourself out there, and you are going to be knee deep in the you know what sometimes, and you're going to have to find a way out of it if you want to keep going. And and along the way, you're going to find things that fire you up, and you really, really believe in them. And there is always non-debatable. There is always going to be more mud that you have to get through than a beautiful pathway to get there. You're going to be off in the mud a lot, but here's another non-debatable. Every single human on planet Earth spends all their time on one of three platforms. This is like an hour-long session when we're teaching. So platform A is you bring positive energy. People love good people, like having you on the team. You're a selfless individual. I could go on. B is mediocrity, and C is you're a pain in the ass. You have negative energy. Good people do not like having you on the team, and I could go on. Here's the non-debatable. Every single listener and viewer and the three of us spend the majority of our day on one of those three platforms. You cannot debate me on that. That's our world. So the cool part about it is I don't need millions of dollars to wake up in the morning and decide that I'm going to spend my life on platform A today. That's a non-debatable, folks. So you talk, I think learning, I always tell people, there's very little that I will coach somebody on or live my life on because it's something that I dreamt up myself. Great people serve me and we take those nuggets and we distribute them. I've built the ABC platform not because I heard that exact, it's things people that have taught me, is like, let me create a creative way to teach that. So I came up with my ABC platform, but it's, there's certain non-debatables in life, and that's non-debatable. You want to set somebody straight on a path of like, okay, wake up in the morning, don't let your feet hit the floor in the morning until you hit the pause button and say, I'm going to live a day, my day is going to be on platform A. And I'm going to hang out with people on A, so when I fall into the mud, I got more people helping me get back on that pathway. That strong platform with a lot of rebar in it. You'll chip the corners, and it'll get brittle and frail in the corners, but every time we level up by going to training or hanging around wonderful, positive people, it's like, here's the thing. Here's the analogy. Life, if you and I build a house, the three of us build a house, we're going to build a foundation that takes a couple days to cure. And we put a lot of rebar in. We tie that rebar together, we build a strong foundation. Life is this 80, 90 year, let's go 70, 80 year foundation that's curing. And every time we level up, it's like pushing rebar in there. More rebar. And then we find ourselves and we're 80 years old and later stages in life, and you're like, I'm on a strong foundation, mm-hmm. and I'm proud of this foundation that me and a lot of other people live on, and we serve greatly from this foundation.
A special thank you to this episode's sponsor, Elevate Training Grounds. They're inviting you to their Deca Strong and Mile event. It's going to have ruck, team, and kids divisions. So go check it out. The energy is going to be off the charts with prizes for people that win.
I love it. That's great stuff.
That's tremendous teaching. That's part, and that's why people are attracted to you and why you're joined by the people you have on your team, because you bring that A game every day. You're on that A platform. And I believe that's why Deca has grown into what it is. It's built on your leadership of choosing every day of, this is how I'm going to lead.
And there's so many positive people.
Yeah.
There's I think you're right. Our team is positive. The people that I listed on there, all of our team is positive, and it's kind of like if you, let's say we go out for the high school football team, and the coaches have good energy, and let's say 75% of the players have good energy, or your wrestling team, Alton, it's like, if I bring bad energy, it's gonna be like, what in the hell are you doing? Mm-hmm. You're gonna stand out like a sore thumb. You're gonna have to make this decision of, whoa, I need to check myself before I step on training today and practice or in the locker room, or this is not for me. Sometimes it's not for you. Nobody's forcing you. When I always teaching kids, I'm like, raise your hands if you're being forced to play this sport that you're playing. I've never had a kid raise his hand. Are you being physically forced? Nobody raises their hand. You made a choice. So let's bring some good energy.
I love that. I recently just read Coach the Coach by Martin Rooney. He talks about how the importance of building that winning culture in your organization, and it starts with the leader, right? Staying on a platform, right? Because that's going to be contagious and set the tone for everyone, and that's how you build that culture where everyone is eventually on platform A, and then it's noticeable when people aren't bringing that positive energy, and it's just an infectious positive environment that you built within your organization.
I got to get the two of you. I would love for the two of you to shadow Coach Karen and I at a 12-hour immersive Get Burly clinic. We should do that. We should do one somewhere up in Indiana. Coach Karen and I, the owner, founder, CEO of Get Burly, another great company I work for, as a master coach, we'll come to Indiana and we'll have you guys be on the basically the coaching team with us, and you can see the full 12 hours. It is a magical day that fills my love tank every single time we get to do them. We serve middle school, high school teams, college teams, CEOs and their employees. If it's a team or an organization, man, we can serve them.
Let's do it.
That's my little plug. Little Get Burly plug there real quick.
Let's do it. So, you know, you talked about going through the mud, and that's not a hypothetical for you. You know, part of the reason we're having this conversation today is that God brought Yancey Culp through a situation where we shouldn't be able to talk to Yancey Culp right now. Surprised with a health scare that was just very close to being the end of you. And you went through the mud there, and you withstood it. You have bounced back from it.
Yeah, talk about pulling the rug off from under you. 16, got a call after a routine colonoscopy. I started doing them early because my mom and dad were had polyps earlier on. If you've never had a colonoscopy, if they go in and they find a polyp, they remove it. And normally it's not cancerous, but most polyps would eventually become cancerous. So that's when they take them out. So I started at 35, all good. 40, I think a polyp, and it was all good. For some reason, about 6 months early, about 44 and a half years old, I decided to go in and a little early, and they removed the polyp, and it was they take it then to the lab and they do biopsies, and it was cancerous, and the area looked pretty bad, and without going into detail, I went in relatively quickly to have what's called a Da Vinci surgery. It's a robotic surgery where the doc's on his computer and these little tools are in there, and he's doing the work with his hands on the laptop. But they removed 8 inches of my large intestines, 4 inches above the bad spot, 4 inches below, and a cluster of about 35 lymph nodes, which they found some cancer in there as well. Dove into 6 months of chemotherapy. To date, I'm about 7 years. Gosh, yeah, I'm coming up. I'm 7 years clear from my last chemotherapy treatment. And, you know, once you hit that 5-year mark, it's a great mark to hit. So I'm 2 years past that. But, man, it's, I know it's going to sound crazy, and only cancer survivors or near-death experience survivors could kind of know what I'm talking about here. But it truly is a gift. I leveled up big time, but because of that scare. You know, when you think you're crossing your T's and dotting your I's in life, you find a way to. It quickly shows you that you weren't being the best version of yourself, and you find ways to level up. But yeah, I haven't talked about that in a while. That first year you think about it about every 30 seconds you think about it, and then it goes to like every minute or two you think about it, and then you get a few more years, and then every now and then you go a couple hours without thinking about it. And to be honest, 7 years, there's been days where I will go an entire day sometimes and not think about it. And that's it feels good to be there. It never goes away. You kind of tear up anytime you're around cancer survivors. It just happens. You know, I'll have somebody at a DECA event. My gosh, I can't remember this guy's name. You just meet so many people, but I know his face from a million miles away. And he always comes up and fist bumped me at DECA Fit Philadelphia. He said, "How you doing, man?" Because he had the exact same surgery. And you just automatically well up a little bit because it's just a family. But yeah, I'm doing well. I think it's a little bit of genetic for me because it happened super early. If I had a nickel for everybody I've talked into getting their colonoscopy, I could fill a mason jar. Y'all know that. So the colon cancer is very, very serious.
What do you feel like were the things that helped you to be resilient to get through and recover from such a difficult
thing? Oh, man, this I promise this is not a bunch of BS, but Joe and I have talked about this. That race right there, that race, I'm comfortable saying in a way it changed my life. That was the hardest thing I've ever done times 10, man, times freaking 20. It was so mentally and physically hard, more mentally than physically for sure. I leaned in on that race. You know, chemotherapy sucks. It's like the ultimate recertify, as Goggins says, recertify every single day. You recertified every single day. It was a roller coaster ride. If any listeners and viewers out there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And there's a bunch of different levels of that, but I mean, I leaned in on those 72 hours because, and I always have. There's nothing. I'll be stuck in a situation where it's like you look at what you got to do, and you're like, "Oh my gosh, dude, are you kidding me? This seems impossible." But after you go through something like that, it's not impossible. Mm-hmm. So I know it sounds a little cheesy, but Joe's death race played a huge role. But more importantly, my wife and kids. There, I would have had. This is not no BS. I was 100% ready to go, except for the fact that you see right in front of you. Let's see, 7 years ago, so my daughter would have been 10, my son would have been 7, 11 and 7. You just see so much life with them out in front of you. That was I was super comfortable. I asked my wife going, but that's what made it not comfortable, because you would dive in and fight. You know, the doctors, the oncologists are like, you need to walk 1 mile a day. And it'll help so much to get your blood counts back. Because you learn, a lot of people, they get off in their chemo schedules and it doesn't work as well because you don't get your blood counts back. And I would go do that mile walk on my bad days. And I swear, it felt harder than 72 hours of the death race, that mile walk. It was, getting off the couch and doing that was like, but I did it and I did it and I freaking forced myself to do it. And then on your good week, you kind of have some good days. I would go out on runs and I would lift weights. And I made a bet with my oncologist that I was not going to lose any weight. I went into cancer at 165. I finished 6 months of chemotherapy at 165. And that bet, that handshake bet, was the one that I made sure I ate. I kept lifting. Every 2 weeks, I'd get about three sessions in, and I would lift heavy and you know, do hypertrophy sets, and I was knocking in, because for 1 week I knew I was confined to the couch and my little 1 mile walk that was kicking my ass. So, but it, man, I just turned it into, I gamified it the best I could, to be honest.
And how beautiful that is, that when you're talking about it now in retrospect, how it helped you, you have such a great perspective on it that it helped level you up. I feel like that's such a beautiful perspective to have, that and shows how resilient your mindset is, that no matter what, you're going to learn something, you're going to grow from it, and you're going to use it to level up no matter how dark that looks. I really feel like that really demonstrates just how resilient you are. And as we finish up our time together, I just wanted to finish off with a fun story. And if you could tell us a little bit about how you and JP, the founder of Ram, got the Ram into the Spartan races.
The Ram! Oh, man. Well, like I said, I have the amazing opportunity to work with a lot of companies. The dietary supplement company Human that I work with, I mentioned Get Burly. Obviously, we talked about Spartan Deca. There's other companies. I have the amazing opportunity to work with so many companies. But JP and the Ram is one of them. And back in the 2017 IRSA convention, okay, we're at IRSA. I'm a master's coach for Power Systems at the time. Shout out to Power Systems. And I would work the booth, and it was a blast. Coach classes, and you know, you're still Yancey classes all over the place that you can go. You can go get some CECs if you want, but I had a blast. So I'm sitting at the Power Systems booth having a blast, and this guy with this crazy accent comes up and he's like, you mind trying out my piece of equipment? And I'm like, and no harm, no foul to the equipment manufacturer out there, but 90% of the new stuff is just hokey BS, dude. It is. But every now and then, something comes along, and you're like, and you've been in the business as long as, like, we've been in it, 25 plus years, you've had your hands on almost everything, and you're like, whoa, dude, this is really cool. And he's like, this is made out of 100% recycled car tires. And I'm like, that made it even cooler. And we're starting to talk about it, and I start training with it, and I'm like, I'm doing snatches with it and cleans and presses and halos, and I'm doing some Russian twists, and I'm doing some sit-ups, and I'm doing some planks with pull-throughs. In like 2 or 3 minutes, I'm demonstrating like 50 different exercises, and I'd never had my hands on the same before. And on the spot, I said, JP, there's only a few, I've been in hundreds if not a thousand gyms, there's only a few pieces of equipment that are what I call legacy items, you know, like med balls, dumbbells, kettlebells, now the TRX, and things like that, where if you own a gym and you don't have these things, what the heck are you doing? Yeah. Are you sure you're a gym? You don't have medicine balls? You don't, and I mean, nowadays, like kind of like TRX, it's like 9 out of 10 gyms are going to have TRX, a suspension, some type of knockoffs of it. I said, JP, I'm telling you, this could be a legacy item. And he resonated with that, and we became great friends, and it's a true story. I think enough time has passed. I'm not going to get in too much trouble for telling this, but Joe, I think Joe would laugh at it now.
I was actually wondering if this was
a... Joe and legal. Oh, it doesn't matter. You know me. I'm transparent. I don't care if I get in trouble. I tell everything. I don't keep anything from anybody. So I think it's been 5 or 6 years now, so Joe and legal would laugh at it, I think. We'll see. So I was like, we got to get these into a Spartan race, so thousands of hands could be on it in one day. And I talked to Craig Drummond, amazing race director. If you've ever been to a Spartan Stadium race, you've met Craig. You did a Craig Drummond race. Amazing salt of the earth dude. He recently left us to move. He got a big job offer, so he left us. So shout out to Craig. But Craig and I are talking, and he's like, let's just get them in the race. Let's just put them in the Arizona Stadium. And so we came up with this plan, and I'm like, Craig, I'm going to get like 60 of them mailed to you tomorrow. They're going to be in route. Trust me, JP will get them going. He'll have them in the mail quickly. They showed up. We came up with the plan to do 15 Spartan Ram burpees, the very last obstacle, the Arizona Stadium race. And here, true story, Kurt Warner did that race. Here, Kurt Warner shows up at the start line. I'm doing demonstrations on how to do a Spartan Ram burpee. Like every wave, like every 2 or 3 minutes, I would do another demo. And I'm doing this demo right in front of the next group that's getting ready to launch, like 15 people. And it's freaking Kurt Warner and his wife. And I got all choked up, and I was like, I could hardly talk. So I'm showing Kurt Warner how to do his 15 Spartan Ram burpees. That was the first one. And then that 2019, that entire year, JP and I traveled to every single stadium, and Craig, and we had them in every single stadium race. So in a matter of one stadium race season, I mean, tens, probably 100,000 people got their hands on it. There was 100,000 people times 15. That's how many Spartan Ram burpees were done that year. And then, of course, we plugged them into DECA. But Spartan can't keep them on the shelf. So it's worked out great for us at Spartan. It's worked out great for JP. And it is a great tool. You guys know, you can body maintenance with it. You can strength train with it. They're pretty much indestructible. So, yeah, I'm giving the best Ram plug I can, man. It's a great gym owners out there, if you're hearing me say this, if you don't have the Spartan Rams, you need them in your life. It's a cool kind of differentiator. It's a new, fun piece of fitness equipment that nobody's had their hands on, most people. And once you have them, you'll love them. There's nothing better than having, let's say you got 6 Rams. Oh, I've also got 6 foam rollers and 6 tempering devices. So it's a great body maintenance tool. But anyway, that's the true story. It's one of those things where on the spot, if Craig and I would have, you know, let's say the stadium race is coming up next Saturday, and we said, hey, let's go to legal and Joe and say, hey, can we just add these on this out of the blue this weekend? They probably would have said no. But it happened. And then I remember like 4 races in, and it was kind of laughed at back then. Cause I love our team, man. It's a great team at Spartan. I know they catch a lot of grief, but it is Joe and team is a bunch of good people at heart. And they were like, somebody said, I was on a call and somebody said, how did these get in? How did this get into the race? So, anyway, that's a true story. And they're still on the stadium trailers. The Rams are on there. I'm trying to find a way to get them into the outdoor stadium races and Tough Mudders for like, we're talking about adding them as like penalty for penalty laps to kind of make the penalty lap harder to slow down those fast runners that take advantage of the penalty lap. So doing fun things with the Rams outdoors, but that's the story as true as I can tell it, my friends.
Yeah, JP's an awesome guy, and Alton actually did an internship for him this year. Wonderful product. Oh, man, you know, whether you use it personally or for your gym, and practically indestructible, made out of recycled car tires, you're helping the planet. Yeah, it's a wonderful deal. Well, you know, we like to conclude by realizing we're not the smartest guys always. We don't come up with all the best questions. So there may be a question you wish we would have asked you today. And so what is it that you would like to tell the audience that we may not have asked you today?
Probably not a question, just kind of a closing is that I encourage everybody out there. There's a lot of people, probably 51%+ people out there that are struggling with all the mass chaos going on. And for some, it's completely legit. I'm talking about people like me that doesn't really have, I don't have any serious issues and problems. I've got a beautiful life. And there's other people out there that have similar setups, similar circumstances. And mentally you find yourself just upset all the time, angry all the time, frustrated all the time, lashing out all the time. And I just encourage people to sit back and life travels by really, really fast. And maybe I'm saying this as a 52-year-old, and I might not have said it as a 22 or 32-year-old, but I just encourage people to, you know, what are you doing today when you wake up in the morning, do you have some type of system in place where you remind yourself to hit the pause button before every single situation that I get today? every face-to-face meeting, every 5 seconds when I'm passing somebody in the grocery store that waves, talking to the checker, the 25-minute meeting or the two-hour meeting or the something that I'm getting ready to have, a face-to-face, really tough, challenging situation with somebody that has issues with me, or I'm talking to my coaches, I'm talking to my parents, I'm sitting down to dinner. I could go on. The 500 situations we find ourselves in every single day. Do you have a system in place that says I need to hit the pause button? Take 2 seconds. For me, say if it's a big thing, it's say a super quick prayer. Just give me the ability to be the best version of myself, to serve the situation, and pinch the life out of the opportunity that I get today, and then grade yourself at night. That ultimately, there's probably nothing that's helped me more. It's just trying to like, and I fail. I allow myself to get frustrated myself sometimes, but I have that system in place that checks, that says, wait a second, pause. Let's get this right. And can you imagine if, I'm far from perfect, but can you imagine if we had a world full of people that hit the pause button before every single situation they went into and said, okay, let's be a selfless leader or follower here versus a selfish leader or follower here. Let's be service-minded, and I think it would go a long way. So just a little bit of advice there. Develop that pause button, everybody, and flush the green when you find yourself in the red zone. How quickly can you get back down to the green zone? That's a big one we teach the kiddos to get burly. So anyway, that's about all I got for you, rock stars.
That's
plenty. Really appreciate your time, and thank you for coming on. And for any of the guests who are interested maybe in doing the Get Burly or interested in bringing DECA to their gym or maybe to their high school team, what would be the best way to get in touch with you, to work with you?
Yeah, so the best way to reach me actually just is through Instagram on a private message, at Yancey Culp, YANCYCULP. You want to talk to me about, I've worked for a company called Human for 13 plus years. My wife's the director of sports performance nutrition for the University of Texas. I can't work for most supplement companies because it's a little bit of a hot mess industry for the most part. But I do have the ability to work with Human because they're very, very well respected. And so I want you to reach out to me and I'll get you connected with Human. They have amazing products in the world of heart healthy energy and just heart health and nitric oxide production. If you want to talk to me about bringing Get Burly to you, I promise you, you would not. We've never had a team that does not bring us back every single year. I would love to bring our 12-hour immersive experience to you. We talked about RAM. Love my guys at the RAM, man, at JP and Dermot at RAM. We can talk about that. Obviously, though, and the big one is if you are a gym member, you're a coach at a gym, you're a gym owner or a co-owner, or just somebody out there that knows somebody in one of those three groups, and you would like to learn more about the amazing benefits, revenue generation, lead generation, member retention, and exercise adherence benefits that come with being a DECA affiliate, you shoot me a message, and I'll stop everything I'm doing, and we'll jump on a call, and we will talk about it. And there's a reason why most of our gyms never leave, is because it is. You get a lot. You get a lot when you affiliate with us. We give you as much as we can, and it's very, very, it's a very rewarding program. I know I'm speaking to the choir, so I'd love to talk to you guys about that. All right, done with my sales pitches. That's I don't want to sell anything else.
I was gonna say, absolutely. You know, I sold my gym and joined your team, and it is a wonderful thing to be a part of bringing this to other gyms and to be able to say, hey, as a gym owner, I can't think of anything better you would rather do at your gym than have a DECA event and meet it, because we saw the benefits.
We love having you officially on the. We love having you on the team now. If you don't know, listeners and viewers, Ricardo is going to be doing road shows for us in the Ohio River Valley and Midwest, and we absolutely we love that you are technically officially on the team now. So welcome, my friend.
Let's go. If you're interested in working with me or Coach Ricardo with resilience training or DECA training, we'll have links down in the description of the video or the podcast that you're listening to. So go check those out and fill out those forms. If you're interested in reaching out to me personally about coaching, best way to contact me is on Facebook at Coach Alton Mullinex or on Instagram at AltonMullinex17_. What's the best way to get in touch with you, Coach?
Hey, if you want me to come bring a deck of magic to your gym, coach.ricardo on Instagram or Ricardo Mullinex on Facebook. I also love to come talk to your school organization about resilience. I love doing that. and working on one-on-one with you on resilience coaching. If you need some of that in your life, just reach out. Thank you so much for being with us, and thank you guys for listening to us with Yancey Cup talking about resilience in life and transition. We appreciate all your wisdom.
You got it, brother. Thank you all, man.
Well, thank you guys for tuning in to this week's episodes of Ricardo's Rules of Resilience, the podcast where we give you the tools to withstand and recover from difficulties. Go be resilient.